from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, good Friday morning to you. The final hour of the Jeremy and Joe Show. Sal and Nate filling in this morning. Bills open up training camp next week. We'll get to that. Got a lot going on here in the summer, and one of those things that's happening is camps everywhere. I got baseball going on. And our guy Joe Licata has his football camp and something called a Signal Caller Saturday. And Joe, of course, has been here on WGR. He's the all-time leading. He was the all-time leading passer in Western New York high school history. That's one I get to him in a second. But also played, of course, at the University at Buffalo. Had stints in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals. Joe joins us on the West Her Hotline. What's going on? Good morning, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Sal. I just wanted to say I love the UB fight song. It was great. I love that touch. Whoever did that did a great job.
Yeah, you got it. No doubt about it. Nate Geary's here with me as well. I know you know Nate a little bit. Nate played a little college football at Buff State. You played at the University of Buffalo. And one of the things that we wanted to touch on and ask you about was, even I was asking Nate earlier, Joe, when he played college football, how much the game has changed. You coach quarterbacks. You've been coaching quarterbacks since you came out of high school in 2011, I believe, is when you graduated, 2010 was your final year at Williamsville South. How much has it changed, both from a technology standpoint and even from a schematic standpoint?
It's changed a ton. You look at just the schematics of it. You know, you go back to the 60s and 70s, nobody's throwing the ball really, running triple option type stuff for the veer, and now everybody's got a run pass option to every single concept that they run. And it's funny, though, I was talking about this with our staff the other day. More things change, the more they really stay the same. The old triple option, you're reading off the defensive end and then pitching off of another player. Now all we're doing really is just changing the angles of everything. And if you throw an RPO, it's now off of an outside linebacker who's potentially coming into the box, and now you're throwing the ball downfield. It's all the same concept. It's just from different angles.
You also, I see, when you're coaching some of the kids, some of the drop back things that I thought were really interesting that I've noticed. Like, I mean, it's not your traditional, you go back and watch like Jim Kelly drop back and it's just a straight back drop, right? Foot plants in the ground, you throw. You're teaching now, I think it's really interesting, how to kind of drop back and get kind of almost already ready to throw the ball to the sidelines before that back foot hits.
Yeah, I mean, you look at just the evolution of humans, everyone's faster. So the quarterback position has sped up so much. People want to talk about athleticism and all that stuff from the quarterback position, but the guys who are great are the guys who can get the ball out of their hands quickly. That's why Marino was successful. That's why, Tom Brady obviously is the best ever do it. That's why Burrow's been great so far, and, and Allen has significantly improved on his ability to get the ball off quickly. And all of that stems from having the proper footwork that's going to translate to being timed up with when the receiver is open, because everybody can be open for a split second, but is the ball in the air in that split second? So that's what we're trying to do, is get our feet to match the concept and all that good stuff. But I can talk for hours on this stuff. I love it.
Joe, it's funny, when I was talking about this with Sal this morning about how different the game is, and I think about when I was in, Pee Wee football and in Little League and then into Modified and then JV and Varsity. Now, of course, I went to a school that really had bought into the triple option, so maybe it's not as unique as maybe I think it is. But I go back to thinking about JV football and thinking about Modified and Little League, and it really wasn't until I got to Modified and really JV that I started – finding myself more and more in like shotgun. Now it feels like shotgun is the basis of every offense, the foundation of every offense, where, 15 years ago, it was still under center, 3-5-7 step drops. And now out of shotgun, it's very different. I know it was a bit of a learning curve for me going from high school being under center almost exclusively to playing shotgun almost exclusively in college. And the footwork the required change of footwork there is different. Do you notice that too, where it's even some of these modified programs, everyone wants to run spread, 5 wide, 4 wide, shotgun, and how much different that is than maybe, a decade and a half ago?
Yeah, it's definitely different. When I was coming out of high school, when I was in high school, we were one of the first ones to really do that. Coach Krasinski was
definitely ahead of the game. Yes.
He was ahead of the game. I mean, we were the first ones to really spread people out and go 4 wide and be in the gun. And from a quarterback perspective, the footwork is significantly different. I like to teach under center at all of my clinics and camps and everything, just because I feel like if you can master being under center and having the footwork great from under center, then the gun ends up being easier. When we teach it, we say the gun accounts for one step. Accounts for two steps. So if you're taking a three-step drop from under center to throw a quick game, you're really just taking one step and throwing it out of the gun. So it makes things a little bit easier, and you're already back farther and you can see things from the gun. So, we do it at South and I love it. We go under center maybe 2 to 3 times a game, at this point. So it has definitely changed. It's definitely changed.
What about from a technology standpoint, Joe? I mean, how much has changed there? I'm at Bill's camp, mini camp, a couple months ago, and I was telling Nate earlier, I'm walking through the field house and there's Josh Allen and they're 3D mapping his throwing. There's literally cameras all around him in a 360. And he's got this company he works with and they're going back and they're checking every throw and they can do it instantaneously. And then Mitch Trubisky would do it. And they're mapping all these little details. And sometimes I think, is this going to be paralysis by analysis? How much can this help? Talk about the technology and the growth in that and how much that's helped you and younger quarterbacks.
Well, it's made it easier to teach, because when you can show things, it becomes a lot easier to explain it. I can tell you all I want, but if I can videotape you, then show you the video of it and say, hey, this is what I'm actually talking about. Kids seem to grasp at that, but the biomechanics have significantly changed. The old school way of thinking, when you're throwing the football, used to be, hey, I'm going to take everything from my right side and drive it down into my left side and get the ball up as high as I can and step at my target and just drive everything down. That was the old school way of doing it. But now it's become more of a rotational feel where, you're separating your upper and lower body. You're rotating around an axle, really spinning the ball. And then your arm's really not doing too much. It's all in your hips and your shoulders now. So if you can break that down on video or, this 3D mapping and imaging and all that stuff, for the higher level guys, it becomes easier to see.
Joe Licata joining us on the Wester Hotline.
And Joe, I'm interested too, and I saw on your promotion for the Single Caller Saturday talking about like some of your quarterback talk, and part of, I think, the talk now is probably more so now more than ever learning how to watch film. And this is, it's more of an art than I think it ever was, because I know, listen, I would watch film and we'd watch film with coaches, and really film was sort of the thing that I hated doing the most, because you know, that's just the time for the coaches to chew you out about stuff you're not doing right, right? But I think right. more so when I got to the college level is really when I started to learn how to watch film and things that I should be looking for when I'm watching. How much of that now for you, like what age does that, age group does that start at? Because I know for me, I think it would have been a bigger advantage had it started, you know, at the JV level for me, or at least in the high school sports level where, hey, we're watching film and the film's on TV and the coach is talking about, you know, this situation, that situation, scouting, all of those things. But it's so much more a part of the game now because we have more access to video than we ever have.
Right. So I think it matters a ton. I mean, when I do my quarterback stuff, kids who are in sixth grade, rising seventh graders, that's really when I introduce them to film. And we'll get on the whiteboard and talk about defensive identification. I mean, I didn't know what cover three was when I was a junior in high school. If these kids know what they're talking about, know what to look for at a young age, then by the time they're sophomores, juniors, seniors in high school, it becomes easy. So, we keep it real simple, X's and O's on the board and draw stuff up and have the kids go up, draw things up just so they can retain it, know it, give handouts so they can take notes on all this stuff. But, and then we do watch film. And getting back to your point about film being tough. The way we explain it to our kids is everything is broken down based on scenario. So if you just watch a game through, it's like you're watching a movie, and you don't really gain anything from that. So if you can separate it and watch, by formation. So you watch every 3-by-1 formation with an attached tight end. Boom. Then you start to see what the defense is trying to do to that certain formation. Then you move on and watch 2-by-2 with an attached tight end. And you can kind of start to see patterns that the defensive coordinators are thinking, because at the end of it, there's still a human being calling a play, and they like what they like. So they're gonna for the most part, stay with that. So you can start to see patterns that way, and having a base knowledge of that at a young age to then growing into trying to study it makes it a lot easier.
Joe Licata, currently the head coach of his alma mater, Williamsville South High School. And Joe, one of the biggest changes in football is the rise in flag football. And of course, for the ladies' side as well, you see a lot more girls playing football, which is great. Now you have these championships, and it's become an actual sport in high school, as you know. Have you seen that? What have you seen in the change in so many more girls playing the sport, and especially playing at a high level?
I think it is awesome. We have a team at South. They're pretty good. They're awesome. And let me just say I've got four nieces, so to be able for them to see football being played and them say, wait, I want to play, and now they actually can, it's an awesome thing. So I think it's great. I think the rise of the sport's great. I've hosted a couple girls flag quarterback clinics. They've been pretty well attended, and it's been great. I've gone to a couple games this year in Western New York. Some of these teams are really, really good, and we actually on the guy side are gonna end up stealing some of the concepts that they're running.
I love it.
It's different. It's different. Yeah. It's awesome. It's great to see.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. Now you have your own, you know, camps that you run. You do these throughout the year. You help a lot of young quarterbacks and train them. But you got a really big event coming up next Saturday. You're calling it Quarterback Signal Caller Saturday. Tell everybody about it. What's happening?
Yeah, it's so I've always done 4 or 5 week camps where you kind of build on things, and then in the summer it starts to dwindle down a little bit, getting ready for the season. But I figured, you know, this year we're going to try to start something new and try to make it a staple in Western New York for all the quarterbacks to come out to. It's going to be a 1-day event. It's at Tonawanda High School. Chris Glenn is the head coach over at Tonawanda. He's done a great job in helping us host there. So it's going to be a 1-day event. We've got about 65 kids signed up right now. We're going to have a couple college quarterbacks out there, a couple college coaches, high school head coaches, a bunch of quarterback guys out there. We're going to do some station work. We're going to do some quarterback talking. And then at the end of it, we're actually going to do some competition and have some giveaways at the end. So it should be a great day. I'm hoping that it becomes, like I said, a staple in Western New York football, and should be a fun day.
And grades 2 through 12. I mean, you're going with the youngest all the way through high school, which is super cool. How can people find out more information? Where can they go?
Yeah, they can go on my website. It's just joelicatafootball.com or any of our social medias, any of my social medias. We'll have all that information. But yeah, we've got kids ranging from second grade all the way to seniors. We'll have them broken up by age. It'll be a great day.
JoeLicottaFootball.com. Joe, your all-time Western New York career passing yardage was broken a couple of years ago. Last season, I believe it was Noah Willoughby of South Park wound up breaking that. You held the record for 13 years, I think it is, if I do the math right there. But Noah's actually a guy you trained, right? You worked with Noah Willoughby at South Park. What was that like for you to see a record of yours broken, but also by a young man that you worked with and trained?
Yeah, a kid that I'm super proud of. He's come a long way. He's done a great job, and he's always handled things the right way. So I'm super proud of him, and you know, his family's been great. His family is great, so I'm super proud of him. But I did tell him, you know, everyone always asks me, is it weird to train the guy that's going to break the record? I said no, like it's great. And I said to Noah when he broke it, I said, all right, now your challenge is to be a part of the next kid who breaks your records story. So no, I mean, I do this. I do this because I love helping kids. I do it because I love the game of football. And so to see it continue to grow is really what I'm most proud of. And so it's been great.
I don't know if this is up to date. I think it is, but I'm looking over. Is Greg Paulus still the all-time New York State passing leader? Do you know that?
Yeah, well, they threw it like 70 times a game.
I'm sure you know Greg pretty well. Both of you high level football and basketball players. Of course, I think he was Mr. Football and Mr. Basketball in New York State. He wound up playing basketball for Duke and then football at Syracuse, right? How cool is that, and how rare is that to be able to transfer and be able to do that at that level?
Yeah, he was an incredible athlete over at CBA. And then when I was coming out, he had just transferred into Syracuse, and I was getting recruited at Syracuse, and we'd go watch them play. And he was the starting quarterback at that time. So got to meet him then, and pretty cool watching him coach now. So,
yeah, it's fun watching you do what you do. Thank you for giving back. You got a great staff there as well. And I'm sure you're going to have a lot more of these camps and clinics. And I think one thing to impress upon, you know, Joe, I've gotten to know you enough here to say that this is for everybody, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're coaching a kid down in the Southern Tier, you have somebody. I know you are a head coach of a football program in Western New York here, but this is not about making your program stronger. This is about making Western New York stronger. This is about making young football players and young quarterbacks stronger and better. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that, Sal. And I, when I started it, it was I set the kind of the tagline is redefining Western New York football, because I coached at in college and kind of realized that our area is under recruited, and it's under recruited because it's underdeveloped. And so just trying to give these kids an opportunity to grow in the game that we all love. You know, that's what it's all about.
JoeLicottaFootball.com. All right, buddy. Best of luck with your signal caller Saturday. I know you already got 65 kids signed up. That's an awesome, awesome thing you're doing. We'll direct more people there and hopefully create some more quarterbacks out there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Awesome. Thanks, Al. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. That is Joe Licata. He was the all-time leading passer in Western New York history. And then Noah Willoughby of South Park wound up breaking it. And I would expect, Nate, because of things we talked about, those records are going to start to fall more and more, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And listen, I mean, like, exactly, because I just think quarterbacks, teams are throwing more than ever. He was talking about Greg Paulus. Yeah, I mean, he literally did throw the ball 70 times a game. So that's what we used to say. Listen, I mean, Joe is a year younger than me, but that's what we used to say about Will South, too. It's like, oh, it's not fair, man. We want to throw as much as Will South, coach. Like, Will South's throwing the ball over the yard, throwing 40 times a game. I'm in the triple option. I've been lucky to get 8-9 attempts in a game.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what did Joe say right there? They were one of the first to do it in Western New York to start running those kinds
of
concepts.
They really were. There were not
teams. When you have Joe Licata, you can do that.
There were not other teams in Western New York that were throwing at the volume that Will South was. The only other team that really even got close to that was like maybe Lancaster. But Clarence had that, you know, I think they still kind of run it. It was like a modified, like tight, like you know, wing T veer. They had like the two running backs on the outside and the quarterback, and the running back was like right on his butt.
Yep,
it was like this tight, and it was so hard. They would run traps and sweep from it. And it was so hard to defend. But that's the kind of offenses that I was used to playing with and against and for in high school, not the spread looks. I mean, the only time we ever got to shotgun when I was in high school was if we were down, had to throw the football, and like, let's go. Third and long, getting shotgun, you know it. But having said that, I believe, and I think about this a lot, I still am a sort of semi-traditionalist when it comes to high school football.
I love it's a couple of these guys that are playing the new college football game that came out. You know, some of these funny guys that I follow on Twitter. I'm a traditionalist. I'm running triple option with, you know, with Notre Dame, you know, because that's the way the game, the beautiful game is played. I love the triple option. It's a near and dear to my heart. It's very difficult to run.
You're talking to a wing T guy here. So, you know, I'm a wing T guy. It's the same thing. It's very much, you can run like a triple option off of that, but that is very, very old school. Nobody's running
fear,
that.
Like,
I tell people these days, when I run into a football coach and we have a conversation, I'm like, yeah, I'm a wing T guy. They're like, what? Nobody runs a wing T anymore. I'm like, I know.
Are you a part of the Facebook group?
No, is there a Facebook?
Oh, I'll invite you. Okay. I'll invite you. There's a wing T Facebook group.
I love it.
And old, like, coaches around the country will post concepts to
it.
And try to, and it's actually a great little forum because coaches will, Joe said it, as much as things have changed, still everything is sort of still foundational. Like, like a lot of the shotgun read option and RPO stuff is all based on those former concepts.
Yes, 100%.
It's just who it is that you're reading. And he mentions the RPO is really based on reading that outside linebacker. But, you know, Veer is defensive tackle. Outside Veer was the defensive end. And, you know, if he crashes, you pull. If he goes upfield, you give. And it's just these concepts.
I've told the story before, but I want to tell you this and share this. I saw Urban Meyer speak one time when he was a coach at Florida, and they were doing all these crazy things like, oh my God, look what they're doing. They got, was that maybe Chris Leak was there and before Tebow and all that. And everybody's like, oh my God, his offense is so revolutionary. And he spoke and he said, everybody thinks I run this weird offense. I don't. I run the wishbone. We're like, you don't run the wishbone.
In shotgun.
And he goes, I do. He goes, because when I got a head coaching job at Bowling Green. He said, I wanted to run the wishbone because I'm a wishbone guy, and I knew that I couldn't do it because it would look weird. I'd get fired. He said, so I just basically said, all right, I'll put my quarterback in shotgun and still run it. Nobody will know the difference. And that's what they did. and then he just kept it up, right? So you're right. The more things change, the more they stay the same. What do you expect from – what's the Bills' base offense going to be this year? And I mean by that by –
super interesting question.
12 personnel, 11 personnel. We've talked about that. Do you buy into some fans who believe Joe Brady's just there to run the ball because Sean McDermott wants to run the ball? And it's going to be conservative, and they're going to be a really run-heavy team like they were towards the end of last year. Like, what does the Bills' offense look like this year?
I do think it's going to be based more in a short passing game. I think the foundation of it's going to be, can we get the ball out of Josh Allen's hands quicker? And can we let playmakers like Khalil Shakir, who I think proved last year when the ball's in his hands, he's a weapon with the ball in his hands after the catch. This is going to be a offense... It's like, how many times is the boy going to cry wolf here, Sal, where we keep talking about Yak, you keep talking about Rack, right? You keep hearing the general manager talk about it every offseason. I actually think this is the year we're going to see a tangible difference. I think you can expect, I don't know if this is a hot take to you, Sal, I think the offense could look more like the Chiefs offense than it ever has. And what I mean by that, and I think the Chiefs offense is set to evolve, by the way. They've got downfield threats now. I think they're going to move their passing game to more vertical because they've got the weapons to do it. I think you could see what the last couple of seasons, what Kansas City has done. Noah Gray on the field and 12 personnel. They ran 12 personnel at a very high rate, one of the highest rates in the NFL over the last 2 years. Noah Gray is a guy that they have in the field a lot. Obviously, Travis Kelce is always out there. But, you know, the Mecole Hardman, the Rashee Rices, the Kadarius Tonys, these are guys that aren't your traditional wide receivers. They're guys you want to get the ball into the hands quickly. And I think I saw a stat that over the last 2 years, the average air yards per touchdown for Patrick Mahomes, it was under 3 yards in 2022.
Wow. That's crazy.
Nobody talks about him being a, you know, conservative quarterback, right?
No, of course not.
So I think that... Obviously, they're still going. I think the Bills are still going to lean into Josh Allen, the playmaker, him extending plays. That's where I think those deep pot shots are going to happen. I think that's really where the advantage for this Bills offense. The big plays are going to come off script, but I think on script, this is going to be an offense that I disagree that they're going to be a run heavy offense. But I think they showed you a blueprint of what they want to be against the Chiefs in the divisional game.
Let's piggyback more on that. We'll set you up for Bills training camp beginning next week. The Bills will report to St. John Fisher on Tuesday as a team. They'll have their first practice on Wednesday. Rookies are already in town getting ready for that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Bills, look at their roster, and a couple questions I have for Nate Geary. Nate and Sal here filling in for Joe and Jeremy this morning on WGR. Thanks for hanging with us on a Friday morning. We're going to talk a little Bills football and training camp coming up when we return after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think there's a couple really important and tangible criteria for MVP. The tangible one is obviously stats. You got to put up numbers and whatnot. But I think the thing that voters love, and I've seen this over the years, they love a story. They love an arc. They love it something different. They love this guy's in a new team, or this guy has a new coach, or in the case of Josh Allen, he has the story already written. Almost 200 receptions just walked out of his huddle from last season, and everyone's thinking, well, then maybe the bubble has burst a little bit. He's going to have to do this all by himself. And he will. That's a great story. If Diggs leaves and whoever knows what he does with Houston, fine. Don't underestimate, though, the power of a really good story. And I think he has one already, as long as the production is there, and I think it will be.
That's Kyle Brandt on Josh Allen, his MVP chances. I agree 100% with what he's saying, which is, it's a lot like, to me, Nate, Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year, I fall into this trap.
Best coach, best team?
No, opposite. Coach that did the most with the least. That's the coach of the year to me. Like, if you did the most.
But is it to the rest of the league?
It's not. Yeah. It's not. So I fall into that trap because I know, like, Mike Schoep will tell you, like, yeah, but the guy who has the best season could be the, right? Like, I don't think he, I don't want to speak for Mike. I don't think he feels the same way I do about it. And he kind of goes against the, it shouldn't just be like, well, you did a really good job with a lesser talented team. Because it does take away from teams and coaches who do a really great job. I'm not opposed to a guy winning Coach of the Year if he goes 15-2. I mean, that's incredible.
Stefanski won it last year?
But Stefanski won it. He had three different starting quarterbacks for multiple games.
He deserved that.
Right? So my point is, I think a lot of times awards are looked at this way. So if Josh Allen goes and has a 4,000-yard passing season, 30-something touchdowns with this group of receivers, and they win a lot of games and win a division, he's going to be really, again, right there for MVP. And maybe even more so because people will look and go, look what he did with this group.
Yep.
And that's what Kyle Brandt's saying for Josh Allen. Let's see what the Bills offense looks like. Jeff in Hamburg joins us here next on the morning show. It's the Jeremy and Joe Sal. Sal and Jeremy and Joe show. Sal and Nate filling in. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
So
Thanks. The biggest thing, so I hear a lot of, you know, oh, well, it went a little run heavy after Brady took over. But I'm thinking, well, he didn't have an offseason to install his offense. So we don't really know exactly what he's going to be looking at going forward. And I know he might not exactly have that 1A receiver going into the next season unless, you know, Ayuk, you know, whoever knows what's going to happen there. But that was kind of my thought. I feel like if you guys had any thoughts on that, is it really going to be that run heavy, or do you think that there might be something that we could look forward to going forward where he has a full off season to install his offense the way that he thinks it should be going? And, you know, what your guys' thoughts are on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, let me start with this. Good question, Jeff. I asked Joe Brady when I saw him in Indianapolis for the combine. I said, Nate, what is it like having to take over an offense in the middle of a season? Like, what can you do and can't you do? Like, because Joe, you don't have the same offense as Ken Dorsey. It's not like you're just walking in like, oh yeah, everything's the same. And he said, of course it's challenging, right? But you know what he said that stuck out to me? And this is very much backed up by Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott when they talk. He said, what you first do is you start with Josh. It's Josh's offense. It's not mine. It's what does he like? You have Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
What does he want to do? Okay, let's start there. This is where we're going to build off of. Okay, so that's the kind of the concept. Now, if you're talking just philosophy of run versus pass, that's dictated by a lot of factors.
A lot of factors, yep.
And I think that the Dallas game really heavily skewed a lot of this, by the way, right?
I agree.
But also the weather did. They were winning games. Towards the end of the year, they were winning games by doing it the way they were doing it. They didn't have to necessarily throw the ball. And by the way, they weren't great at it.
Mm-hmm.
They were forcing the ball to Stephon Diggs. They couldn't get the ball downfield. Well, why keep trying to force something you can't do? And then when you have James Cook, who, oh, by the way, was top six in the league in what rushing yards and yards from scrimmage and all that, you can get him involved and do a lot of different things. I agree with Jeff that a full offseason, I think Joe Brady, this is not an offense we're going to be talking about after 4 weeks going, why are they running the ball so much? I think he is going to throw just as much as we have expected this team to throw over the last few years.
I agree. I'm also of the mind, Sal, that I think about I want to keep going back to the Chiefs game. We talked a lot about it yesterday. And I think a lot of people sort of forget. Everyone gets so mesmerized about the Diggs drop, right? And then we kind of forget about the second down play to Khalil Shakir, where he just gets bumped by Chris Jones, and how different that game can be. I think this blueprint is exactly the type of blueprint I see the Bills using next year when they're playing offense. First drive, 14 plays, 60 yards. 11 plays, 75 yards. 12 plays, 75 yards. 15 plays, 75 yards. And then the drive that they got down, and it's 27-24, the Bills get the ball, then Diggs drops that pass. Listen to these plays afterwards. Allen, short pass, right, Kincaid. Allen, short pass, left, Knox. Allen, short pass, Kincaid. Allen, short pass, over the middle, fumbles, touchdown. Okay, that was a shotgun. Okay, 4th and 3. Short, Khalil Shakir for 10 yards. Short, Kincaid for 8 yards. Short to Sherfield. Short, 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 short. I think that they're going with a more timing and principled passing offense. And yes, I think they'll have a play or two a game or to start a drive, take a pot shot down the field. Hey, defensive coordinator. Hey, safeties. We still have Josh Allen. And if you're gonna load the box, if you're gonna try to stop us, you're gonna play press coverage and try to stop us from throwing the ball short, we're gonna hit you over the top. We do have MVS. We do have a Curtis Samuel who can get down the field. We do have a Khalil Shakir that can get down the field. But I think that the ball's going to come out quick, and I think that they're going to use Dalton Kincaid in a lot of those option routes. And I think that's going to be, Josh, can we get a timing and rhythm offense from you? And then when we need it, can you extend plays and make plays down the field? So that's, to me, if you want to say that they're going to be a more run-heavy team, I would probably push back on that. Will they be an extension of the run in terms of some of the pass plays they do? Maybe. Those quick screen passes to Diggs. I think that they gave the ball to Diggs in those situations because they were struggling to find ways to get him the ball. I think they'll be way more effective with those when it's Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel catching them instead of Stephon Diggs.
I'm seeing things coming out of Texans camp about Diggs and how much of a vocal leader he is, and you know, just the energy. And there's no doubt about that. Like,
it's not a surprise.
If anybody questioned like that kind of stuff with Stephon Diggs, no doubt. But also, I think that's also part of the reason he's not here anymore, which is, it became a lot about Stephon Diggs and the everything surrounding that for good and bad, because the story was always about Stephon Diggs. Does he want the ball? Is he mad about this? And what happened last year at minicamp? He's always been considered a great teammate by his teammates.
Yep.
But you're already seeing stories from Texans camp in a positive way about how Diggs is, you can tell, he's on the field. You can tell. He's vocal. He's out there. Stephon Diggs is truly the alpha male of the Bills' offense, right? Yep. And that kind of, in a way, to me, took away from Josh Allen being the true alpha male of the Bills' offense. That's why you've also heard this offseason, I don't think it's a coincidence, Nate, that we've heard a lot about Josh Allen's leadership and even him saying how much of a different leader he has to be because of this new group.
Sure.
I think this is a chance, and even by design to me, that Josh Allen needs to take more of that kind of charge. Not that he's not a leader, but he always had Mitch Morse and Stephon Diggs and even to a lesser degree Gabe Davis who came along after him. Guys like that on his offense. And look at the defensive guys they lost. He didn't have to be the number one true vocal alpha male leader on a team. I think that that's time for it. He needs to now. And I think that's part of the whole kind of evolution and change in this iteration of the Bills and what they're trying to do. And we'll see if that translates that way.
Big birdie for Lowry on 18 there. Get to 2-under.
Oh,
big
done?
Birdie. Yep,
shot,
he's done.
Shot a 69, 7-under through two rounds. Daniel Brown at 5-under. He's through 11 holes today. But look who is number three. He is there, as you said lurking. Before, lurking. Scottie Scheffler.
Just lurking in the shadows.
There's Scottie Scheffler right there. Nate, have you thought about, oh, by the way, in case you missed it, I don't know if you saw, Tyler Medikevich has signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last couple days.
Interesting.
That's where he was before he came to Buffalo. And I bring it up because obviously it's notable. He's a Bill. He's been here for a few years. He's truly a special teams guy. Have you thought about the kickoff stuff at much? Like, I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And the new rules. And it's going to be wild. And I've probably spent too much time, but I'm telling you, people who think that I might spend too much time thinking about it or talking about it, wait till you see it in the preseason. There are going to be people. I am not kidding you when I tell you, there are going to be people who turn on an NFL preseason game. There's a kickoff and they're going to go, what the hell is this? Did I turn on an XFL game? What? They're going to have no concept of what is happening. It is so remarkably different over what we've seen. And I'm telling you too, it is going to be wild in the preseason because, Nate, teams want to evaluate that play and their players. And they're going to be trying all different kinds of sorts of things on the kickoff.
Who do you think the Bills are going to opt to back there?
Great question. To me, it's a running back like a Ty Johnson. It's a Ray Davis, maybe. Mm. Those kinds of guys. I don't think you're talking as much anymore about your
sixth receiver, fifth receiver.
Yeah, the smaller, shiftier guys. I think you need a little more power.
Mm.
Because I just think there's an opportunity there. If you can break through the first kind of wave, you can run, you know, and it's not, you're not getting ahead of steam necessarily. You kind of got to navigate through short spaces. I'm even more interested in what the composition of the roster looks like on the actual return team and the kickoff team and how that's going to happen. Guys like Tyler Medikevich, who are now on the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Those are the kinds of guys, and he's been in the league a long time, but These linebacker types, these bigger body types, can get your hands on you. They can make tackles. That's what I think the league is going to go to a little bit. But I have no freaking clue. And then the question is, do they actually kick it into the landing zone? Or do they kick it deep? How do they try it? What do they do? Are we talking totally different after 3-4 weeks? I don't really know. I do think it's going to be interesting. I think punt returning is more of a question to me about who are they going to put there than kick returning. So I think kick returning, they'll have guys on the roster. Rostered guys can probably do the kick returns.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case on punt returns. You can. You can have Khalil Shakir do it. Or do you keep a Daquan Hardy, who's a rookie, as a corner to be your punt returner? To me, those are the questions that got to be answered when it comes to special teams.
It was why I was – I know that Hardy, the other one that they had last year, I know that the cap number was probably a little bit higher than they wanted, and they were looking to you know, cut money where they could. I was surprised they let him go, Deonte Hardy. I thought that – especially towards the end of the year, obviously the Dolphins game where he breaks that punt return and that really changed the whole dynamic of that football game. I thought that strictly from a special teams perspective, they might want him back. So it'll be interesting, Sal. You're right. I think it'll be something I watch when I get to training camp next Sunday to see what special teams looks like. I'm going to tell you, you are not the only one. We're not the only one talking about this. Scotty, what a freaking putt to save par. I just am distracted by how good he is. You are not the only one that talked about this. I Joe and I both participated in the Scott Fish Bowl fantasy draft over the weekend on Sunday at Fatty Beer at Worlds or North Tonawanda. Mike was not there because his son had a lacrosse game. Otherwise, he's normally there. That's like he's a fixture at these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wish that Mike was there. We had a woman in one of the drafts, there was three separate draft board sale, who picked, I think from like the fourth round on, returners. This league, the Scott Fish Bowl League, is, I think it's 30 points for a return touchdown. And then it's like, a point a yard for return. You could get like 65 up to maybe 80 points for a return touchdown in this league. So she decided, we're in Scott Fish Bowl, I'm going to do something crazy. She started drafting a bunch of returners. The Turpin kid from the Cowboys. One of the running backs from the Giants, Tracy. By the eighth round sale, she was writing in names because the names weren't available on the stickers and the kits that they got for the fantasy football kits. So it's a topic of conversation, not just amongst the circles of people that are interested in what this looks like, but fantasy realms as well, because it's a kind of a game changer for the fantasy football game.
It is going to be very interesting. I'm not sure if you heard me tell Joe the other day, I get to keep one guy from my fantasy league, but it's got to be a guy I drafted in the eighth round or later last year.
Okay.
Anthony Richardson. I get to start with him this year, and I get to count him as my 18th round pick. Anthony Richardson. I think I'm ahead of the game right there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will wrap things up here on a Friday morning show. It is the Jeremy and Joe Show. It's Sal Capaccio and Nate Geary here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, well, next week it happens. Back at it.
That's right.
What is your plan for training camp? You go up to Rochester a lot? You plan on being up there a lot?
I will be on air Sunday next week.
Okay.
So I'll get there early, go to practice.
Sunday 28th. The 28th. All right.
Can you believe it's July? What has happened?
Oh, my God.
It's the end of summer.
Crazy. It's crazy.
It's the end of summer. Looking forward to it. I love doing the weekend stuff, the Sports Talk Sunday, special Sports Talk Sunday. So we'll usually get a player. You and I will chit-chat, talk about practice. But it'll just be good to be on the field. And obviously, this year, it's exciting. It's new. This is going to be the most different, the craziest, wildest training camp in the era since Josh Allen was signed. I think there's more anticipation for this training camp, the unknowns, than Josh Allen. It's as close to Josh Allen's rookie season as we're going to get.
August 1st is the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, August God, that's 1st. 2 weeks?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, right now it is July 19, and we are talking, less than 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. Thursday night, August 1st, 13 days from now, the Bears and Texans play.
Yep.
Which is why Texans are at training camp. We talked about them a little while ago. So the Bears, I'm interested to see if Caleb Williams plays in that game. I would imagine he would.
Really?
You think he wouldn't?
No.
He's going to be their starting quarterback, and he's a rookie. Doesn't he need reps?
I think, historically, they've never put starters in those games. It's always been...
Okay, so here's the question. If they don't, this is why I ask. The next week, the Bears play the Bills. Does Caleb Williams make his preseason debut against the Bills?
I bet he does.
In Buffalo, by the way.
I bet he does.
That'd be interesting.
Roma Dunn's. It's cool. It's going to be a fun team. I don't know if they'll be good, but they'll be fun.
I think so, too. Good luck today in your member guest.
And Porter Cup's today, too.
Porter Cup. Yeah, that's right. Brian Cozio talked about it. Hey, a couple thank yous to go along today. Brian Cozio for joining us at bright and early at 6:30 today to talk about the Open. We had Paul Esden from the Score in Syracuse, Boy Green, about the Jets. Really great stuff from him this morning. We had Joe Licata at 9 a.m. If you missed any of that, WGR550.com, the Odyssey app. And hopefully you have a chance to listen, because a big thank you to Al Maranka, our engineer, who came in here and helped us out. There's been a really big outage, mostly affecting Microsoft computers and software, flights, banks. There's government offices. offices being shut down all over. We were able to be on the air today and give you a show, and hopefully you listened and were able to enjoy it, because it was a bit challenging. Evan did a great job producing, and Evan, good job. I know you had a lot of challenges in there as well, but thanks a lot to our engineer, Al Marenka. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. We got Zach Jones coming up with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, well, next week it happens. Back at it.
That's right.
What is your plan for training camp? You go up to Rochester a lot? You plan on being up there a lot?
I will be on air Sunday next week.
Okay.
So I'll get there early, go to practice.
Sunday, 28th. The 28th. All right.
Can you believe it's July? What has happened?
Oh, my God.
It's the end of summer.
Crazy. It's crazy.
See you this summer. Looking forward to it. I love doing the weekend stuff, the Sports Talk Sunday, special Sports Talk Sunday. So we'll usually get a player. You and I will chit-chat, talk about practice. But it'll just be good to be on the field. And obviously, this year, it's exciting. It's new. This is going to be the most different, the craziest, wildest training camp in the era since Josh Allen was signed. I think there's more anticipation for this training camp, the unknowns, than Josh Allen. It's as close to Josh Allen's rookie season as we're going to get.
August 1st is the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, August 1st. That's 2 weeks?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, right now it is July 19, and we are talking, less than 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. Thursday night, August 1st, 13 days from now. The Bears and Texans play.
Yep.
Which is why Texans are at training camp. We talked about them a little while ago. So the Bears, I'm interested to see if Caleb Williams plays in that game. I would imagine he would.
Really?
You think he wouldn't?
No.
He's going to be their starting quarterback, and he's a rookie. Doesn't he need reps?
I think, historically, they've never put starters in those games. It's always been...
Okay, so here's the question. If they don't, this is why I ask. The next week, the Bears play the Bills. Does Caleb Williams make his preseason debut against the Bills?
I bet he does.
In Buffalo, by the way.
I bet he does.
That'd be interesting.
Roma Dunn's. It's cool. It's going to be a fun team. I don't know if they'll be good, but they'll be fun.
I think so, too. Good luck today. And your member guest.
And Porter Cup's today, too.
Porter Cup. Yeah, that's right. Brian Cozio talked about it. Hey, a couple thank yous to go along today. Brian Cozio for joining us at bright and early at 6:30 today to talk about the Open. We had Paul Esden from the Score in Syracuse, Boy Green, about the Jets. Really great stuff from him this morning. We had Joe Licata at 9 a.m. If you missed any of that, WGR550.com, the Odyssey app. And hopefully you have a chance to listen, because a big thank you to Al Maranka, our engineer, who came in here and helped us out. There's been a really big outage, mostly affecting Microsoft computers and software, flights, banks. There's government offices being shut down all over. We were able to be on the air today and give you a show, and hopefully you listened and were able to enjoy it, because it was a bit challenging. Evan did a great job producing, and Evan, good job. I know you had a lot of challenges in there as well, but thanks a lot to our engineer, Al Maranka. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. We got Zach Jones coming up with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.